I'm excited for this one. This is the Outside Gate with Steve Hall on the L4 Media Network, where we talk US moto and anywhere the conversation goes. Joining me today is 1980s moto legend, Scott Burnworth. Burner, how are you?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing great. Good to be on the show. Got quite a few friends down in Australia. My good friend is lived down there for the last 40 or so years, down near Byron Bay.
Oh yeah, that's a nice spot. Yeah,
Phil, he was my partner in jet pilot, so we'll probably talk about that. But that was after I quit racing, so.
no worries, no worries. So you're keeping pretty busy at the moment, man. With all the SoCal Classic stuff coming up, that's so
Yeah,
the SoCal Classic, man. It's definitely things that are high on my bucket list is to get to one of those. So yeah, do you want to tell us a bit about what you're up to?
I started it back in 2010, kind of as a because we had a couple different clubs here, and like these guys didn't go to their club, races, and it's like they were doing their own things. I'm like, I'm just gonna make one race that everybody can come to. You don't need, you don't have to be a member or anything. It's just a fun day of racing, a little party afterwards, and that's how it started. So it's been since 2010, and so it's been a while,
Yeah,
and it's
man.
been.
It looks like one of the cool, yeah, like I said, high on my bucket list. It looks super cool. Love vintage, love all the tracks and all that whole SoCal scene that
It seems like Australia is pretty into it too. I get a lot of, I get comments from a lot of guys down there, just, hit me up, hey, what's up, some guys coming over here to race, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So this year you're at Paris.
So this year we did a series. Before it was just like one-off races, so I decided to do a series this year, and it's Paris is the first one. Then Barona Oaks, that's where I grew up racing. It's down here closer to me in San Diego. And
Yeah.
then we have the grand finale in Glen Helen, and it'll be like a two-dayer. I've never done a two-day race before, so it's going to be all vintage on Sunday. I'm on Saturday, and then all modern bikes on Sunday, so it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. And you get a few you so you do you ride the events? I know you still ride, you ride your RM250.
I've pretty much ridden every race. I tore up my knee about 2 years ago at the Verona race, so I couldn't race. And then I think I missed one race after that at Glen Helen because of my knee. But I had a good time though, because I was walking around, filming and getting, just talking to people, and it was a good time. I usually overdo it, because I'll do like, I might not do the second motos, but I'll sign up, and then I want to be in this class. Just go up the start, do one moto, then do another one, and just hop in there wherever. It kind of relieves the stress of the day, getting on the track.
And how many vintage bikes you got? I know you got, is it an 87 RM250?
87 RM125.
Oh, okay. Yep. 125. Yeah.
My good buddy, Gary Faxon, keeps it all tuned up, and it's a blast. It runs really good.
So that's your main squeeze for your vintage bikes, yeah?
Although, for this year, for the series, we picked up Yamaha as the title sponsorship, so super excited about that. I was surprised that had happened. I'm like, well, why are they gonna, sponsor a vintage race? But we're really going to try to help them promote the Yamaha Blue Crew series they have. They have like a three race series, and Marshugel and Glen Helen and one other one. So I'm excited. My first factory ride was with a Yamaha with was Yamaha in 1981, and then I rode there for a total of 3 years, 81, 82. And then I went to Suzuki in 83, but I went back to Yamaha in 86. So, and that was the infamous, Anaheim takeout one.
Yeah. Cool, man. One of the questions I always ask is, when did the bug bite, man? When did you first decide that you loved dirt bikes?
We had some trail 70s, like the CT 70s, you know, just for trail riding. And I don't recall exactly how we got into riding. You know, we'd go camp and then, you know, ride around in the on the flat there, you know, just learning how to, my dad just tooled around a little bit. And that's kind of how it started. And then, you know, we're out there with no helmets and stuff, you know. Those were the good old days. But eventually, a friend of ours, I think he got us. My dad wasn't a motocross racer, and he was the stock car driver and a car driver. So he was a racer. And one of our friends, I don't know exactly how I got, we went to a race locally, and, you know, I did really bad. I was just like terrified. I didn't know what to do or anything. And it was more of a, not a motocross race with a closed circuit. It was just kind of like a trail ride thing, loop, you know, just all not groomed or anything. So it was more like an off-road thing. But that's how it started. And that was back in, I was probably about 9 years old. Where it started. And then I just, you know, we started riding more. Then we started racing more and, you know, getting more bikes. And then we were like all into it. And my local track is Barona Oaks Raceway. It's called Barona AMX now, and that was where we grew up. Every weekend we'd go, you know, on Saturday, or we'd probably go on Saturday night, and then go home, you know. I think we raced Sunday too, and then we'd go home, you know, and then next weekend we'd do the same thing. And it was great though. It's like we had a blast out there. We would just, you know, kids out there. It's totally out in the country, no nothing around it, you know, exploring on our bicycles and just, you know, not getting into too much trouble.
Yeah, so that Jamul, is that what it's called? Jamul, where you grew up?
It's a, the J is like a H, so it's Hamul.
Cool.
That's right. I live now. And that's where I grew up. You know, we moved out here, I think, in 1970. Nineteen seventy-three or something like that. And you know, behind our house here, it was just all open. That's where I learned, you know, how to race. And you know, we had so many tracks that we'd just make. It would rain, and you know, it's just the best when you're a kid. You know, and we had, all my friends, my neighbors had bikes, and we'd go riding all day. And you know, just during the summer, like that's all we did pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Hamul is kind of, it's fairly close to El Cajon.
Yeah. So it's like southeast of El Cajon. So I'm literally, 10 miles from El Cajon right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So you would have grown up, sort of, did you know like the El Cajon guys, like Ricky and Brock and that sort of thing?
So Ronnie Lachine and I grew up together racing at Barona, and Rick also. Us three. Brock was a little bit older, and I think he didn't really grow up racing there because he was kind of older, and it was mainly for mini bikes, like kind of at first. And that's how they kind of started. It was a club called California Motorcycle Club, CMMC. And let me show you. I'll show you something really cool. Excuse me. We were talking about that. This is like a jersey. We had a club there. You know, it's all like hand done and everything.
Oh, nice.
So all the racers had, you know, these jerseys because they were a member. Yeah. So you got a jersey and it says California Club, you know, name on the back and stuff. So
I love the old club jerseys. Like it's not done so much anymore, is it?
But yeah, I always think about bringing those back. You know, because it's just like I love the, that's why I got into vintage racing, because I love the nostalgia of it, you know. Just vintage racing is not all about racing, you know. It's, you go to the race and it's half, you know, socializing and half racing and, you know, a little party afterwards. So
yeah,
it's a good time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You still get a few blokes, you know, once when the gate drops, it gets a bit more serious, but in between times, it's just a lot of fun, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And it's not compared to, like, you know, they have the World Vets and all that. That is like, you know, that's like pro racing, and that's, I don't really get into it much, you know, because I don't want to have to, you know, practice and, you know, train and to do this stuff. I just want to go do my five laps and, you know, I'm good. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Short races, and yeah.
At Paris, at the first, our first round, because Paris, it's a smaller venue, not quite like Glen Helen, but they have a vet track, a main track, and some kids track. So we're gonna tie the whole thing together. The main track, the vet track, and then they have like a flat track that's near, and we're going to blast onto the flat track and then do just one, you know, end of it, and then come off the straightaway and then go back and do the loop. So you probably do like three laps or so, you know, 20 minutes. So I think it'll be pretty fun.
That sounds good too, because that bit of flat track is also, it'll give the older riders a bit of a rest too when they're just pinned around the flat track. Yeah, give them a break.
Doing the GP thing, I didn't want to do like the 45-minute moto, because a lot of those guys don't want to go that long. And then, you know, if you're riding a vintage bike, they might, you know, want, they're always breaking. So
yeah,
then you have another chance. So that kind of was my idea behind it.
Very, very good. So, let's talk a little bit about your junior racing, I guess, like, and how that sort of progressed through to doing nationals.
Okay, so I, you know, what some of my first races were at Burren Oaks, which is near here, obviously, and it was a big mini thing. So, you know, everyone around here raced there. You know, Rick started out there, Ronnie, Jeremy McGrath, later, you know, started there, Rhino, a lot of guys, you know, it was really competitive, because NMA, which was like the main mini thing then, Ron Hendricks and all that, they had, you know, regionals, and then, you know, kind of how they have Loretta Lynn's now, they had regionals, then they have the final, you know, back in, it was in Ponca City. So they'd have a regional at Verona or wherever it was. So we had some big races there with all, you know, Jeff Ward and Gary Dirks, and those were kind of my main, you know, Jim Hawley. I mean, a lot of fast guys, you know. we definitely learned how to go fast there. So it was good. But, you know, and then on the off weekends, it was a little bit easier. You know, I did pretty good there. So, and that was a little more fun, you know, not quite as intense, you know. So I think I used to ride like four classes, because that's when they were making the hundreds. I'd ride 100, or I'd ride 80 stock, 80 modified, 105, 100, and 125. So it was a long day for me.
Yeah. And when did you start getting like support? Did you get support from a local shop and that sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, my dad kind of, you know, put some things together here and there with local shops. I think one of my first sponsors was like a Yamaha shop. That was, it was like called South Bay Yamaha, and it was down, it was actually near JT. Then that's another story. I started wearing JT then too, which was like, you know, back then it was like, oh my God, I'm wearing JT, I'm the shit, you know?
Yeah, that's right. JT just about had every top rider sewn up at one stage. They were the big fish, weren't they? Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. was pretty awesome. But the good thing, or the funny thing, is that I'm still like great friends with Rita and John, who were the owners of JT, because I do another thing called the Carlsbad Reunion. That's more of a fun get together. You know, I just did it because I go, you know, it'd be cool before all these guys, you know, pass on, come together, talk about Carlsbad, you know, the raceway. And there were so many memorable races there. You know, the GP, you know, I don't know, you probably weren't old enough to watch it on TV then, but it's all on YouTube now. It's just incredible, like, how many people used to go. And that was one of my first races that I ever attended as a kid, just watching. And it was like, oh my God, you know, there was thousands of people all over the hills. And if you guys go on YouTube and just watch some of those races, and you'll be blown away of the magnitude of it. It's like ABC Sports did the whole thing. And, you know, they had Caitlin Bruce Jenner, you know, as announcer.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, check it out. It's pretty good.
I watch a lot of old YouTube races. Yeah, no, we certainly couldn't watch it on TV here, but I would read about it in magazines and that sort of thing. So
now, the Supercross, you got to go back and watch like the 80s Supercross. In my opinion, Larry Hakla was just like, you know, the greatest of all time announcers. You know, the stuff he would come up with, it was just so funny. And he couldn't do that. He couldn't be an announcer, I don't think, these days, because some of the stuff he did was, you know, you can't repeat it now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Larry Huffman is the greatest of all time. I love it. Some of these things, you know, like I know a lot of them, and I reference them all the time. Some of his sayings and that. Yeah,
I've always kind of followed Larry, and when I got my Suzuki factory ride, Suzuki sent us to his studio to kind of learn how to, you know, speak with the media and treat, you know, handle yourself, you know, because you're representing, you know, a big corporation here. So that was kind of good. And that's kind of how I met him, you know, and then obviously I see him at the Supercrosses and whatnot. And then when I started doing the SoCal, maybe at Glen Helen, I called him up and I said, hey, would you not thinking he'd really want to do it. You know, you want to come and announce our races, you know, because that'd be so cool for me, you know. And he did it. He came maybe three times he came, and it was great, you know. He's still really good, you know.
Yeah.
He's having some physical problems, like his foot. He's had some operations on his foot, and so he's still going through that, but he's just an awesome guy.
Geez, that would have been like being in a time warp, listening to Larry Huffman and watching old bikes go around. Yeah. Wow, what's going on? Where's the time machine? Yeah,
that's what I wanted to do, is kind of get him out there, because all those guys, you know, used to listen to him on Supercross and whatnot, and I thought it'd be so cool to, you know, he didn't get quite as crazy as he used to, but he still got it. You know, he's got the great voice and stuff.
Yeah, he'd probably be worried about getting in trouble nowadays of,
you know, yeah,
some of the things he used to say.
I used to have him do a script for SoCal, you know, so I'd play it like a radio script. Mm. So I'd type it out, and then I should share some of them with you. I've got it like in my iTunes. I've got like 10 of them that, you know, some of them I didn't use and stuff, and they're pretty good. I was trying to figure out how to integrate some of those in my SoCal, social posts. I can figure it out somehow. Yeah.
You'd be like me, you have to get one of your kids to help you figure that out. That's right. Yeah, cool. That the Carlsbad reunion, man. Like I love seeing the photos and all that sort of thing. Like it just, yeah, it's just heartwarming, man. Seeing everyone together and that sort of thing. I can't get enough of that.
Like for me, it's a little bit easier to do than the races, and you know, I like trying to get as many like old time famous guys as I can, you know, and we've had like, I mean, so many. I mean, we had Garrett Wolsink there last year, and so the King of Carlsbad, you know, and I'll show you another thing, you know. So yeah, cool. We made some jerseys, and then I made this for him. So it's like an old tire. And then this is like a digitally printed thing, and I made up a collage for him, and I gave him one of these, and he, you know, and I made a bunch of stuff for him, and he was all
stoked. Yeah, I remember seeing you post that when you gave it to him. Yeah.
Yeah, he was super excited. We made some like replica jersey. Oh, sorry. I got to show off.
So, yeah, man, for sure.
So we did like a replica of this. I don't know what year that was, but you know, with the number and everything, and signed it on the back. So yeah, it's kind of fun doing it, you know. That's like, because I like the old school gear and whatnot. So I like kind of recreating it, and it's a good time.
Cool, yeah, man. I love all that stuff. So into your pro career, man. So so Suzuki, Yamaha.
So starting off, I rode Suzuki support for a long time because I was on Suzuki minis. So I got some support to, you know, I started racing it. The big thing was Carlsbad Saddleback, where in SoCal, that's where you go if you want to, you know, make the big time, because just, everybody's there. It's like a national, like on the regular Saturdays. It was maybe, I think they're like at least 30 minute motos, you know, long motos, where you could train and get fast. And when you got it dialed, man, you know, you could, you know, beat the fastest guys around, you know, there. And so we go to one weekend and be Saddleback, and then it goes down to Carlsbad, you know, back and forth. So I started doing pretty good in that. There was a thing called the Golden State Series, which happened early in the year. It was kind of it was CMC. So that was like the big club in SoCal that everyone, you know, Carlsbad Saddleback. I mean, I don't know how many guys they'd get on the weekend, but I mean, each pro class had, you know, 40 guys stacked, you know, so you had to either get fast or you're done, you know. So I started doing good, started winning, and that's how I got the support from Suzuki, along with, you know, doing the mini stuff that I had done. And so they helped me. R&D was they were kind of like a support. It was kind of like a pro circuit with Suzuki. They did some development, but Dean and Rudy, they just built the greatest two strokes. I mean, those are the fastest bikes I ever rode, you know? And when I first got turned pro, I had the RM125s and, just insanely fast bikes. And, you know, I started winning, like I said, and then did some nationals in 1979. I just did a couple. And then 1980, I did the whole circuit and kind of privateer semi-support. And I got some help from Suzuki. And I ended up getting like sixth overall in the end, which was really good for me. And that's when Yamaha approached me and said, "Hey, you know, are you interested in the ride?" And I'm like, "Whoa, you know, I got." So on the team was Mike Bell, got his jersey right here, yeah, over there. Mike Bell, Brock Glover, and Bob Hanna. So I'm like, "Here's, you know, I'm like." You know, 16, 17. I'm like, I get to be on a factory bike with these guys. I was like, you know, I worship these guys. You know, it's like, where do I sign? Where do I sign up? So that was cool. And, you know, Suzuki wasn't getting a factory ride for some reason. I don't really recall. They had a lot of guys in Barnett. some other guys, Myerskopf, and you know, a little bit faster guys than me. So I got I got the opportunity to go to Yamaha. It was awesome, and I rode 81. Actually, in 1980, I got Rookie of the Year in the AMA Nationals, which was pretty cool. I always remember Kenny Clark when I went into his office to sign my first deal. He's all, you know, we were really impressed that you stayed on the same lap as Brock and Barnett. You know, they thought that was cool. You know, I ended up like, God, you know, fifth and sixth or something like that, but those guys were gone. So 81 was pretty good. I had some good finishes. I didn't win any, but I did good, solid. And then same with 82, Supercross, and I rode a 250 outdoor. Had some podium finishes and went pretty good. Let's see, what else? 82 and then 83. I can't remember if Suzuki offered me a ride before Yamaha wasn't going to give me a ride or whatever, but I ended up going to Suzuki site. I always knew the boss at Suzuki, just nice, this older guy. Since I was, he always liked me, I think, from the minis, you know, and I think he always wanted me to ride there, and I got the chance in 83, and that ended up being my best year, actually, in pro racing, because I finished second behind David Bailey in the final points, you know, so that was pretty cool for me. Great bike. The bike was really fast that year. Not so great in Supercross, but outdoors, the thing really, you know, because it didn't quite turn great and stuff. It was, you know, more of an outdoorsy bike, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Even Barnett kind of struggled with a little bit because we had the experimental. It had the airbox on the top with the gas tank on the bottom. Super, super trick. It was like, you're like, wow, this is cool. And you're thinking, you know, this thing's got to work insane. But for some reason or another, it didn't really handle that great, didn't work that great. The motor was about the same. But I think Barnett actually ended up switching to his outdoor bike for Supercross because he wasn't like comfortable on it. But that's one bike that I would really like to have just for, you know, on my wall or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to wonder what happened to some of them, you know, they probably got just torn apart.
Yeah. Well, okay. So my good friend of mine that I grew up with, I ended up getting a job at Suzuki. I don't remember exactly what he started doing, but he was kind of like, you know, the parts guy. He'd help out, you know, with the team and stuff like that. And he was, I think, if I remember correctly, he was the guy that took those bikes in the truck down to the smasher, you know, and, you know, put them in the crusher because they didn't want, I don't know if it was because of liability or secrets or what, you know, they just crushed the bikes, you know, and they didn't want the parts getting out, but there are a lot of parts that got out because, you know, back then all the mechanics had their own box van and they'd go home and, you know, travel to the races, go back home. So some parts kind of lost their way out of the truck.
Yeah. I'll bet some memorabilia. Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. So 83 to 85, you're back on Suzuki. And then back to Yamaha again after that.
Yeah, so after 85, I did pretty good, you know, outdoors and stuff like that. And then Yamaha needed a 125 rider for the 125 class that year. So that was a good opportunity. I was good friends with Brock and, you know, talked to him a little bit. And, you know, so I ended up getting the deal. Unfortunately, the bike was okay, but the other bikes were better. You know, the Honda, that was like, you know, the Honda was super good. They were all super good. So I kind of struggled on the bike. We had a little problem, you know, as far as suspension and whatnot, and getting it to run, you know, as good as the other bikes, and just kind of struggled a little bit all year. And that was about the end of it. And then at the end of the year, I didn't get a factory ride for the next day. So I went down to my local shop, bought a 87 Honda, because that was like, those bikes were the shit back then.
Yeah.
And I went down and bought it. I only had one, so I couldn't really like practice too much. And, you know, Anaheim's coming up. So I took it to Mitch at Pro Circuit. He just dialed it super fast, you know, but I wasn't that comfortable on it because I didn't have the time. You know, I didn't want to thrash it before I didn't have two bikes to ride. So I had to go practice on it and then race it. So I didn't have a lot of time on it, but so I just showed it. I went to Anaheim, you know, my buddy was helping me out, and I just went there to, you know, check it out and see what happened. I was number 20. I remember that. And I have a helmet. I have a Troy Lee helmet that has number 20 on it, and I used it once, and it's actually still in my shelf in the garage.
So after that, is that sort of that? So that was retirement.
Well, I thought it was, and so some guys from Spain came over. They were the distributor of KTM in Spain, and that was right out of Barcelona, about 40 minutes in inland, and it was called Marcy Moto, and they were the distributor for all of Spain for KTM, and they had all kinds of other, they distributed O'Neill, and yeah, that was the funny thing, because my gear was, I had a JT helmet, I had O'Neill gloves and pants and jersey, Axo boots, so I had a full mix of stuff, but that was pretty fun because it was real laid back. I did the Spanish national championships, but I couldn't win the championship because I wasn't Spanish, but I still won a lot of the races. It was mainly like me and two other guys that were, you know, that could win. But I had a great time there. I had a little apartment, with near the cobblestones and all this stuff, and had this little, you know, Ford Focus that I could just go during the week to cruise around. And there's a country called Andorra about 2 hours away from there. If you look it up, it's a country in its own. It's only, I think, 25 miles square. And a lot of cyclists live there and stuff for tax purposes and whatnot, but super like beautiful place, you know, elevation, trees and everything. And so I just cruise around during the week, and then, you know, I had a little practice track down the street. I'd go down there, ride, and then, you know, do some training. I bought a bicycle when I was over there. I did a couple of GPs. We drove from there to Portugal. I went to Portugal round of the World GP. I did okay. I think I got like a ninth in one moto, and then the other one I didn't do so good. And then I did some international races, like in Italy and Belgium and stuff like that. So it was a great time. I had a good time there. It's a small little town, you know. It's just like super cool little town. I really want to go back there and check it out again.
Yeah. So then tell us a bit about, you know, what you've been up to since you stopped.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So after when I was done racing, or kind of right at the end there, when I was in Spain, my good friend, that he actually lives in Australia now, and my other buddy, we started getting that jet pilot company. It was called Jet Pilot, and how the name came about, my friend went with me to Bear Sea the year before, and they call the riders pilots. So we're like, we wanted to make jet ski apparel that was cool, wetsuits and stuff like that, because they had a surf background, so they're always familiar with wetsuits and all this stuff. And then combined with the racing, they both race too. That's how we kind of met at Verona, and we're like, you know, let's make, you know, like a racing suit for jet skiers, because they were wearing like football jerseys with, you know, shorts on and pants, you know, just super janky. Yeah. And then we came out with the Dayglow, like full suit and everything. And that was right when I was kind of ending up racing, and they kept bugging me, come on, you got, you're done, you know, let's do this, you know, it's so cool. And then I finally did that, and I started working, and it was super small then. I, you know, everyone just kind of did everything, and that's how I kind of got into design. Because it was all kind of done by hand there. So we eventually started doing ads and merchandise and stuff. So I kind of figure out, you know, how to do all this stuff. And I was always into it, you know. So I kind of, that's how I started into graphics, and I really liked doing it. I like, you know, taking photos, and I started doing that, taking all the photos for the catalog and all that, and kind of developing the products and it's still, you know, it's still going. It's like super big in Australia, you know, right now. So it's kind of cool to see. And I still keep in touch with some of the owner guys and my buddy down there.
So you're not in that business anymore?
No, we sold that. It was sold a couple times. We sold it to O'Neill Wetsuits first, because we thought that, you know, having them, because they could manufacture the wetsuits, you know, more cost effective and more quality. Actually, they were making the first ones. And then when that, I can't remember, we opened a factory in Mexico down here so we could be so close to it to make all the wetsuits, because they were glued and stitched, and it you really needed to be there instead of going to China and having to go over there. So we did that for quite a many years. It was pretty cool.
Cool. And any other business things after Jet Pilot?
No, that's kind of when I started my burner design kind of company. I've been doing that ever since I was, you know, kind of working there. I always do like side stuff. And, you know, I did a lot of stuff for industry people, you know, Alpine Star Store. And I've worked at Maxima. I still doing work like freelance for Maxima right now. I work on a lot of the packaging and labels. So it's kind of cool to stay back in the industry. And obviously doing my races, it's kind of getting bigger. And, you know, hopefully eventually I can, you know, make some money at it.
It's just about the passion for now, hey, until you can make some money.
It kind of takes the edge off a little bit, you know, when you have fun doing it, you know. But I really like doing it and being around the bikes and the whole scene. It's pretty cool. And then expanding it this year, I don't know, you know, we'll see. I have kind of visions of, you know, maybe eventually doing like a national thing where I pick like, you know, four or five like bitching, you know, vintage tracks around the, or popular tracks around the United States. And, you know, cause it's like, it's big in Texas and down there and, you know, a lot of the states, you know, there's a lot of vintage racers in the United States. And they got the ARMA, the big association that they have, you know, two series, and everyone goes to that. And so there's quite a bit of action here.
Lots of action. I love it. We have a pretty good little vintage scene here, but yeah, nothing like you guys have, that's for sure. Yeah. So what was your favorite track when you're racing?
I'd have to say Carlsbad, you know, because I was so close. And, you know, most people a lot of people kind of hate it because it was, you'd go in the morning and it would just be sloppy mud because they didn't want it to dry out. So they just wire the crap out of it. And the dirt is, it's either slimy and wet or it's concrete pretty much. There's a little bit in between for a little bit, but it gets like blue grooves at all the corners, you know, the uphill, everywhere. And that's where I just like, that's my thing. You know, I was never a sand guy. I didn't grow up with the sand or anything, and I just always kind of struggled at it. But on the hard ground, that was my favorite thing. You know, when we go to Carlsbad, that I had some of my best finishes there. You know, in the USGP one year, I rode the support class, which is the 250 compared to the 125. So I actually won the first moto. Like all the guys were in there, Brock, Rick, Bailey, you know, all of them. But I was just on that day and I had a good day. The only thing was that they had watered it. I think they watered it up the first moto and there was a lot of puddles and you'd kind of have to go through a jump and then, you know, wheelie through the puddle. And I got splashed on the second moto, all on my hands. And it was like on those JT, like the goat sting gloves. And it was just so slippery. And I was just, I ended up getting maybe fourth or something, but I was just pissed because I was all muddy and wet.
Yeah. And as far as what the vault says, your first podium was Carlsbad 81. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That, like I said, I mean, I did a lot of testing for Suzuki there too, like just like lap after lap after lap. And when you get that place dialed, you know, you could just, you know, you're on it, like compared to somebody that shows up because you got to know the lines, you got to move off, you know, here 10 inches to get over here to miss those bumps or, you know, hit that blue groove right there. Or, you know, it was really like a local guy's track, you know. I know a lot of the Euros that came, you know, during the summer. I mean, unbelievable. It's not that far from the beach, but it got really hot there. And those guys, that was when it was 40 plus two, you know, 40 minutes plus two laps. And some of those guys were just like, looked like they were going to die.
Not used to the heat, no, some of the Euros, yeah, that's for sure. What about your favorite bike? What was your favorite race bike?
Dang. I had a lot of good bikes, I guess. I guess that the one that probably had the most impact, like, in my career was when I got off the in the minis when I got the R&D Suzuki ride, because that thing was like, I was riding like modified Yamahas and stuff like that. Maybe even, I don't know if I had a Suzuki yet, but I started riding that bike, and Dean, that thing was so freaking fast. It had, you know, a handmade pipe. He had cut down Elsinore forks and put those on there. And it had like Acron rims, and I think it might have had a bigger front rim. And the thing just like was so fast, just insane, you know. But I'd say as far as impact, that was probably, you know, one of my fast favorite bikes. But like obviously all the factory bikes that I had, regardless if they were, you know, the best or not, you know, the 81 Yamaha was insane. You know, just, you just look at all the parts, you know, compared to today when, you know, it's not really totally factory bikes. It's, you know, you can't, you know, you don't have the sand cast parts and titanium bolts and you're, you know, everywhere. And I feel lucky that I got to grow up in that era with those bikes and be able to ride those bikes. You know, the Suzuki with the airbox on the top and the tank on the side, that's just like, you know, you can never find that again. So I wish I could have kept them, but That was impossible back then.
What about you? Who was your favorite teammate?
I'd probably have to say Brock, because, you know, we were pretty good friends. We grew up near each other. And, you know, when I got my Yamaha ride, he was kind of, you know, he was always established there. And, you know, obviously he did so well there, and very respected, you know, as far as Yamaha. And so I'd say Brock, yeah. But till this day, when I put on the Carlsbad things, I invite David Bailey, you know, Ronnie, you know, all these guys, they come, and it's good to see them there. We probably get along better than we did when we were racing, because we, you know, they're not taking you out, or you don't need to beat them, you know, you're all good now.
Yeah, of course, you know, that seems to be the way.
The funny thing is, we just, I started working with this guy doing these like custom wines for charities and stuff like that. And we actually did Brock. We made his son has cystic fibrosis. So we made like a special wine. It was like a Brock Lover wine. It was a white wine. So we had, I made the labels and design and stuff. And so they auctioned it off for charity, and, you know, every bottle that was sold. And then, so recently we just did, we did a wine for David Bailey and Rick Johnson, which I did all the labels and stuff like that. If I show you, oh, wait, I don't have the bottle here, but so with those, when they're sold, we have a, organization called Legends and Heroes, and it's all about, you know, kind of keeping the old school alive. They go to every Supercross right now and set up. They have, you know, at each place, the guys from the region will bring bikes to display, and it's one of the most popular, features in the Supercross pits, you know, because everyone goes, you know, check out the bikes, and they have a museum, like it's a big trailer and you can walk in. It's got all the, you know, I actually did the walls, and it's just like massive collage of old photos. It was kind of fun to do, but it was a lot of work, but it was just, it was fun to do, but it turned out really well. And, they're doing really good. It was like,
yeah, I checked it out this year. I went to Anaheim 1 this year, and
you did it.
Oh. Yeah, I had a good look around the Legends and Heroes area. Yeah,
yeah. So David Dewhurst, which is like a renowned photographer, he actually kind of just like gave me his whole, you know, book, the book that he came out with a year or two ago. He gave me all the files and said, you know, use what you want, you know. So I was just like going through all these files, and so many cool photos, you know. And I had to lay, it's just a big mural basically on those walls. And so it turned out really well. I was pretty stoked.
What's your most memorable race?
Oh shit. Well, I guess it, good or bad, the Anaheim 86, you know, that's probably the most popular one that people like, hey, I remember you at 86, you know. And like, yeah, okay, we have to talk about that. Because that night, I, you know, I was riding really well. I ended up winning my heat race, and I was pretty pumped, you know. So, and then in the main, I got a great start, and you know what happens next. So the first straightaway, and then I was going to cut in on that second corner to get a run, because there were some jumps there, and that's when Rick was coming on super hot and just came in and took out my wheel, and then that ended my day there. So I was not too happy, so I kind of waited around and slowed down a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But, we laugh about it now, but Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've actually heard him say that he was a bit hard on you. He was a bit hard on you in that corner. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Hey, I've taken up a fair bit of your time. Just a couple of little questions I like to ask towards the end of the show. Just a couple of different things, man. I don't know if you're into music at all, but you could have one album to listen to for the rest of your life, what's that album?
Oh man, I'm a big Judas Priest fan. That's hard to pick one out because and I've actually been listening to a lot of Bob Marley lately. So I kind of go all over, right? Like Devo's from, you know, one of my favorites, Judas Priest. I like, you know, it kind of depends. I move on, you know, I've been listening to Bob Marley for a little bit. And then I think metal is probably my, you know, you ever heard of Rammstein?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got into that like a few years ago, and when you listen to that, that's super captivating. You know, that it's a little odd, to say the least, but I mean, the energy is just insane. And then we ended up, they came here last year in LA Coliseum. So me and my wife went, and that was like probably the best concert I've ever been to. Just the show is just insane. Just the pyrotechnics and what they do and the energy of everything. It's pretty insane. It's hard for me to pick one. I don't know. I can't. There's so many I like, you know.
That's all right. Oh, cool. You got a few different musical tastes. Same as me. Yeah, I like it. Lots of different stuff.
Mood you're in. Yeah.
It does, yeah, yeah. And so you mentioned your wife. You've got kids, Scott? You've got some kids?
I have two girls, and they're about 20. One's going to turn 30 this year, so they're both about that age. And, one's going to get married here in May, and that's kind of exciting and scary at the same time. Got two kids, great wife. She, you know, we do the races. She's like good partnership because she does her things and I do my things. We have a good time.
Yeah. So. And Frankie, the dog.
Oh yeah. He's over here sleeping. Getting a little old, dude. He's sputtering quite a bit. But he's hanging on, you know, hopefully he'll stay around a little bit more.
My dog will be waiting right outside the door waiting for me to finish and let him in. So he's pretty quiet. Oh, she's pretty quiet. So she probably could sit in here when I'm doing this, but sure enough, if I had her sitting here, the mailman would knock on the front door while I was doing an interview. Oh, yeah. She'd go crazy.
So. Well, he's gotten so old that he can't really see and stuff anymore. So, but he hangs out in the garage. So when the UPS, that's when he moves. When the UPS guy and the FedEx guy drive up, he's like barking. He might be a little, you know, a few minutes late, but he's like barking. He don't know where it's at. But he hears it still. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Cool. Just one more question. Who was your childhood hero? So either Moto or anything, might've been your dad. Who was it?
Like I said, my dad, you know, he was when we were little, he started racing cars. It was called Cajon Speedway. It's not El Cajon Speedway, it's Cajon Speedway. And it is in El Cajon, though. And so every weekend before I started riding at all, and he'd race every weekend. So we'd just go to the races, you know, we'd be, you know, under the grandstands and just messing around usually, and you know, it's a pretty big deal. And my dad's my hero, I guess. Yeah
my dad raced cars too, so I know where you come from there. Give me your best Aussie accent. Something I ask all the guests to do.
No, I can't do that, mate. No. I know when I went down there, it was just like insane. The slang is just like, you know, some of it you go, what the heck do you say? And then, you know, you figure it out. But, yeah.
Cool, man. All right. To close out the show, I know you're a bit squeezed for time, so we'll close out. What I do to close the show, man, is I sing a little bit of Kenny Rogers for the outtake. And always say to people, if anybody knows the words, they're welcome to join in, but there's no pressure because most people don't. Yeah. All right, so I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold them.
Know when to fold them.
Know when to walk away.
Know when to run.
You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Thank you very much, Berno. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on. I'll be glad to come on again, maybe after my races or, you know, maybe at the end of the year after our last race in Glen Helen. That's going to be a good one, I think. So, yeah.
That'd be fantastic, man. I hope to meet you one day because I'm definitely, like I said, on my bucket list, it's definitely there to get to a SoCal Classic or a few of them. So.
If we have any Aussie guys that want to come over, you know, there's always guys in the vintage scene that want to loan their bike. So, you know, just get a ticket and come over and, you know, we'll try to find you a bike.
Sounds fantastic. All right. Thank you, man. Cheers.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Steve.
Cheers.